Wow, do we have a great show for you. Coming up, another one of them wristbands for sport enthusiasts, a hydrogen fuel cell, a great new notebook from Asus, one of the great Windows phones, the Ative, and I'm going to review the latest razor-thin iMac. It's all coming up. Time to watch before you buy.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Before You Buy is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
Before You Buy is brought to you by Stamps.com. Use your time more effectively. Use Stamps.com to buy and print real U.S. postage the instant you need it, right from your desk. For our special offer, visit Stamps.com now. Click the microphone and enter Before You Buy. Welcome to Before You Buy. This is TWiT's product review show where we get great stuff. Shannon gets all the great stuff. Shannon Morris gets the great stuff. And we parcel it out to various staff members, get their opinion on it, their review on it. We've got, boy, Shannon, you got 6 products today. And if you include Sarah's iPhone case roundup,
then
you got like 80.
Like
an endless amount. Let's start. Father Robert is here. It's great to have you. Father Robert's the host of TWiT, This Week in Enterprise Tech, every Monday at 12 noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern on a TWiT. And you've got something. You showed me this when you were on
TWiT, right after CES. This is actually a hydrogen power fuel cell.
That is an interesting idea. You don't have to plug it in.
No plugging it in.
It gets its power from the air.
It's powered by water.
Or water. Well, let's take a look.
Yeah. I'm Father Robert Ballasier, the digital Jesuit, host of TWiT, This Week in Enterprise Tech on the TWiT Network. And I'm taking a look at the MyFC PowerTrek fuel cell.
The PowerTrek is a hybrid hydrogen fuel cell and battery backup by Swedish company MyFC. The unit is 5 inches long, 2.5 inches wide, 1.5 inches tall, and weighs less than a pound. The PowerTrek is really two products in one. The first is a 1500 milliamp hour lithium-ion battery contained within the same housing that holds the fuel cell assembly. Two buttons and a series of LEDs to the front of the PowerTrek allow you to check the charge level of the lithium-ion battery and to start charging a connected device. The left side of the PowerTrek has a micro USB port that lets you charge the lithium-ion battery, while the right side has a standard USB port that will provide up to 5 watts of power, with which you can charge your phone, media player, or other USB device. The second part of the PowerTrek is a 2-stage hydrogen fuel cell. It generates power by first combining water with sodium silicide, releasing hydrogen that is forced into the fuel cell, where it is diffused across a proton exchange membrane, stripping off the hydrogen atom's electrons as the protons pass through the membrane, creating usable electricity and water. It sounds like magic, but actually,
it's science!
Using the PowerTrek starts by filling the water reservoir and capping it tightly. The bottom half of the housing contains an ingenious water transfer system that uses the action of closing the reservoir to pressurize the system. The PowerTrek uses small canisters of reactant called power pucks. Each power puck, about 2 inches in diameter, is a sealed container of sodium silicide with a valve at the top that creates a seal with the fuel cell and a silicone membrane at the bottom to allow the introduction of water. The power puck is placed into its holding area where the bottom of the puck is penetrated by a small needle that releases water into the puck when a small lever is depressed. The fuel cell assembly is latched onto the lower housing, and immediately the interaction of water and sodium silicide creates a stream of hydrogen. As the PowerTrek converts hydrogen into electrical power and water, a small indicator lets you know that the fuel cell is active and that the lithium-ion battery is being charged internally. Once the power puck is activated, it will run continuously for 4 hours, generating 4 watt-hours of power that can be used to either charge a USB-connected gadget or top off the lithium-ion battery. Once the power puck no longer has enough reactant to provide the fuel cell with sufficient hydrogen, the PowerTrek LED will blink to let the user know that it's now safe to remove or replace the power puck. Rinse, repeat, recharge.
The MyFC PowerTrek does really well to bring hydrogen power to the masses. But the question is it for you? Well, to answer that, you have to look at the pros and the cons. And the first pro has to be the overall design of the unit. I love this hybrid assembly. The fact that they've combined a hydrogen fuel cell along with a lithium-ion battery. Because anyone who has used a fuel cell before knows that the biggest problem is that once you start off the reactant, you can't stop. You can't turn this off. Which means if you run out of devices to charge or out of batteries to top off, that excess power gets wasted as heat. Not so with the PowerTrek. Any power that's not immediately used by whatever you're charging will dump into the lithium-ion battery, which you can then use to power your devices later on. It's a very efficient usage of power, and I like that. The second thing has to be the overall, well, size and weight of the device. It is nice and small. It's handheld. It can fit in your bag. In fact, I've bumped this around the world for the last month or so with no ill effects. So it tells me that it's really designed to travel, and it's small enough so that I can do it without it being a burden. The other pro has to be this. As long as you keep this dry and away from getting crushed, you're not going to have to worry about, well, expiring your power. In fact, this is going to outlast most of the devices that you have in your gadget inventory, which means this is ideal, again, for that person who's a survivalist, who's a camper off the grid, or who wants something for a go bag. Now, on the con side, the first thing has to be, well, the design of the seam here. There have been a few times where I've heard a little pop or a little hiss that tells me that hydrogen has been escaping from the cell. That's not cool. I mean, it's not a disaster. It's not going to blow up. It's not going to burn. But what it does tell me is that occasionally, because some grit gets in there, some grime, or because these seams are hard to clean, that it's wasting hydrogen that should be going into powering my devices. That fights against the overall efficiency of the unit. Not cool. But the big thing has to be price. $200 to $230 for the unit, $2 each for the puck. At those prices, it becomes far more efficient, far more economical for me to buy several rechargeable batteries and leave them in the places that I'm going to be using them. The car, the home, the office, my bag. In that sense, this is not the charger for the everyman. So, buy, try, or don't buy? It's a split decision. For most people, the overwhelming majority of people, this is a don't buy. It's just too expensive, even with the coolness factor. However, if you are a geek who likes to play with hydrogen, if you are a camper who really does go off the grid, or if you are a survivalist and you want something for your go bag, then this is one of those products that's in a niche market that's served really, really well by this example of hydrogen power. I'm Father Robert Ballasaire. This is the MyFC Power Trek, and this has been Before You Buy.
Not the first fuel cell we've seen.
Things like this on the market, they've all been bigger and they've all been even more expensive.
Yeah. I mean, it's I agree with your don't buy for the usual average person. But if you need this, it might be worth the money. If you're trekking or something and you absolutely can't lose power, it might be worth it.
Right. It's in a weird part of the market where it's small enough where it could be used on an everyday basis, but it's too expensive.
Not economic.
For an everyday basis.
You think the price will fall?
I think so. The most expensive part has always been the PEM, the proton exchange membrane, because it's got, I believe it's part platinum.
It's the catalyst for the reaction.
It's the catalyst for the reaction, That's always been the expensive part. They've figured out how to make it inexpensive, so they can start stacking these and upping the voltages and upping the power.
Interesting.
Output.
Interesting. Yeah. Thank you, Father Robert. Robert Ballasaire. You say Ballasaire. I'm going to say Ballasaire.
Yeah,
Father
smart.
Robert Ballasaire. He's the host of This Week in Enterprise Tech every Monday on the TWIT Network. Now I'm going to focus over on the other side and say hi to Shannon Morse, who is our producer for the show, Snubs, on Twitter.
The organized producer.
At Snubs. She's very organized, I must say. And also the co-host with Darren Kitchen of the security show that you do on the tech feed.
Yes, ThreatWire.
It's called ThreatWire.
Yeah. ThreatWire.
ThreatWire, youtube.com/techfeed.
Yes, that's correct.
If you want to watch that. You got a nice looking notebook, and it's just in time for Valentine's
Day. Just in time for Valentine's Day, and the whole reason that I picked this one out to review today is because it's bright pink.
Does it have to be pink, or do they have other colors for the lid?
They don't. It also comes in a nice silver color,
too. Oh, okay.
So for the boys, you can get nice silver. Girls, you can get the bright pink, or if you're...
Not too late, guys, to get this for your honey.
That's true. You still got two more days. So
I have to say, it looks just like a MacBook Air from the side.
It does, doesn't it?
With a pink top.
It's skinny. It's super skinny. And it's got tons of different USB slots on the side.
No,
it's got
optical drive.
No optical drive. HDMI. It's got.
So that's something the Air doesn't have, which is a VGA connector on the. Is that a VGA connector?
Looks like it. There is one on the other side.
Yeah.
Another USB port, and then you got your little one for your headphone jack and then SD cards.
All right. Yeah, so and now this is a Windows 8 machine. Is it a touch screen?
It is. That's what surprised me about this machine is it's bright. The screen is great. It's got a resolution of 1366 by 768, and it's touchscreen, even though it's under $500.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a great price.
And I like the fact that it's very bright, and it comes in that resolution because it's at 11 inches, 11.6 to be exact. And I feel like if it was any smaller than that or the resolution was any larger, it would be way too small for this screen size.
Windows 8 also has clear type, and it does a good job with lower resolutions, making them look good on type.
Yeah, so
now, what do you get? What kind of processor and memory and storage do you get for $500?
So it's a little iffy. You get 500 gig hard disk drive, which is great. Really, really big, but it's not a solid state. Very easy to upgrade, though. When I looked online a little bit about this, people were saying you can upgrade it with a solid state real quick. 9 screws on the bottom, pop them out, put in a solid state. Really easy. Easy to upgrade. It's got a third-gen i3 processor in it, an Intel. So it is a i3. It's not an i5 or an i7. Right. Little bit slower processing power, but again, that price point is...
It's a good price point.
It's a great price point.
That's not bad.
RAM,
yeah.
4 gigs of RAM, very average. And then it's only 2.9 pounds, and it comes with Windows 8, of course.
This would be a great student notebook or anybody on a budget. This is pretty powerful.
It's a great
price.
Economic priced book. Yeah. It's a nice little, and it looks kind of like an ultrabook. It's only 2.9 pounds, so it'd be great in a little bag.
Sorry, Homer Simpson wants my attention. Just
Homer Simpson
that.
Really likes this one. He's really into the pink color. He loves the pink on the back.
Is it a backlit keyboard?
It is not, no. Okay. So no backlit keyboard. I did notice the touchpad right here. It is a little bit hard to press down. You have to put a lot of pressure behind that. So it's not too sensitive, which can be an issue if it's way too sensitive with things. And I also noticed the sound quality is great on here. So people that were wearing your headphones.
I don't know why he's still talking to me. I turned him off.
If you're wearing your headphones, hold on just a moment. I'm going to turn this up really loud.
Okay.
You get some music going in here.
Now I'll tell you from sitting here, it's loud. It's not exactly deep bass.
Yeah.
It's obviously sufficient to get Robert dancing. But almost anything gets him dancing.
So my pros and my cons about this little guy. Pros, of course, it's small, it's portable, great touchscreen. I'm very happy that they included this at such a cheap price. And it's easy to upgrade with just a couple of screws on the bottom.
That's
you can pop in a nice solid state if you wanted to. And, of course, the cons is that processor. I don't like the i3. I would never purchase something myself lower than an i5, personally. And that's about it. I got to give this thing a try. It's not for me specifically because I would definitely go for an ultrabook with higher processing power in it and a solid state already built in. But it's a really good choice for a student or somebody who's a little bit more aware
if you're
price of
sensitive,
their pricing.
I think that's a great price.
Yeah, it's a good one.
The touch screen. You like how it looks? It looks a little bit glary.
It is a little bit glary. I was using this in a sunny room over the weekend in my friend's apartment, and it was hard to read.
Is it washed out at all, or is the color good?
No, the color's great. I go up to the start screen, this is up full brightness, and you can see it's very, very bright, and no washed out that I can see.
That looks great.
Yeah.
And it is a multi-touch.
Yep.
Father Robert says multi-touch. It's 10-point multi-touch and capacitive. That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's great.
I'd give it a buy if you need a budget-priced notebook. That's the Asus VivoBook.
And
obviously,
it's the
if you have the money, you might want a little more power.
Yes.
But if you're in the under $500 price range, I don't know if you get much better than that.
And it's in pink. I like the pink.
A great cheap Valentine's gift, relatively so. Hey, I want to walk over and say hi to Ayaz. Thank you, Shannon. Thank you, Robert.
Thank you.
And while I'm walking, let me see if we can do this elegantly. I'm going to talk a little bit about... our great friends at Stamps.com. Stamps.com is a place to go. There we go. Look, the whole team is scrambling around. I love to do this to them. Throw them. It's a great place to go. If you do a lot of mailing, you're going to want to go to Stamps.com. Stamps.com is the pro place for people who do mailing. I'll tell you why. First of all, With Stamps.com, you can buy and print your own U.S. postage. That means you don't have to go to the post office to buy it. The new stamps are coming out. They're going to be expensive. You don't have to buy them at the post office. You just print them with Stamps.com. You don't need special ink, and you definitely don't need a postage meter. The other thing that's great about Stamps.com, because it's a computer program, you can use that great USB scale that you get with Stamps.com. So you always have exactly the right postage, not too much, not too little. Even with the new rates, it's automatically calculated in. And it will pull the things like the return address, your company logo, and the mailing address from your computer, whether it's your address book, your Outlook, we'll take from Outlook or we'll take from QuickBooks. If you're an Amazon or eBay or Etsy seller or PayPal, it could take the information from there. If you're sending priority mail, or express mail, it'll automatically send an email, if you choose, to your recipient with the tracking number. I mean, all in all, this is the pro mailing solution. Now, if you go to stamps.com, you want to try this, and I do encourage you to try it. It's a no-risk trial offer for the first month. You see that $80 value, you might be tempted because that's a pretty good deal, but no, I can make it better. Click the radio microphone in the upper right-hand corner and enter before you buy in as the promo code, and that $80 value turns into a $110 bonus value. $55 in free postage. You get the digital scale, this beautiful digital scale. It's a 5-pound scale, and it's free. You just pay the shipping and postage, about $5. To make up for that, they give you a supply kit and 30-day free trial. Stamps.com. Print postage right from your computer. My only regret is that for our international viewers, this isn't available. It's U.S. only. Stamps.com. Use the offer code before you buy to get a really great deal. So we got some more products for you on Before You Buy. Iyaz Akhtar, the host of TNT and the Know How Show. Sorry we missed you last week on Know How.
Yeah, I was a bit better. I feel a lot better this week, and we'll have two episodes. So
we're going to have one in the can for future.
That's right. We're going to have an emergency episode ready.
I know. And the reason that we didn't do the show without you is because it was a Raspberry Pi.
Raspberry Pi episode.
There's no way I'm sitting down and doing a Raspberry Pi episode without any prep.
We'll be doing a Raspberry Pi XBMC on Thursday.
That'll be fun. All right. Now, I remember when Samsung announced this phone last year. First of all, we had a hard time knowing how to pronounce it. It's Ativ.
It's the Samsung Ativ Odyssey.
And it's their Windows 8 phone. And I thought at the time, wow, Samsung does Android. Samsung has their own operating system called Tizen, and they also do Windows Phone. It's interesting.
Yeah, this is their budget phone. This is about $50 on contract. You could probably get it for less. I've seen it as little as free or $10 on Amazon. So it's really, really the low-cost option.
Is it Verizon only?
It's Verizon only. It's 4G LTE, so you got a good connection when it comes to Verizon's network, right? That's the best thing about this phone so far. As it's a Samsung, it's got that cheap, plasticky feel, kind of like the Galaxy series.
I don't mind that. I can live with that. I think you're making a phone call there. You might want to hang
Who am I calling today? But, you know, actually speaking about the phone quality, that was actually
really
good.
Is it pretty good?
As a phone, I actually had to call
people. The screen looks good, too.
It's an 800x480 AMOLED.
Well, it's small. It's like, how big is it? There's Liz's phone number. Let's give that out.
No, that's actually a table.
How big is the phone? It's almost iPhone size.
It's a 4-inch display.
Yeah, it is.
And the thing is, it's a really snappy interface when it comes to Windows Phone.
I'm also seeing more icons than I usually see on a Windows Phone. Have they customized that, or is that you?
This was a lot of customization by me.
You made those icons smaller.
There are a couple of applications that are specific to this phone. I believe there's like a mini diary and like something called Now, which shows you your weather and stocks and things, which I removed because I don't really care to have a mini diary or to do that.
So unlike Android, you can really get a pretty vanilla Windows Phone experience on this.
Right. You can really take those things away, put it aside. As you can see, the touchscreen, really responsive, and it works pretty well. I mean, it's a budget phone, so if you're looking for just something like an entry-level phone, it's pretty good. If you're in the whole Windows Phone universe for a budget phone, it's pretty good.
I have to say, I'm impressed. And I think for a first-time smartphone buyer, this might be a good product. Let's get your pros and cons.
Sure. On the pros, it's really snappy. I had no performance issues when it came to this device. When it came to running applications, running multiple applications, not really an issue when it came to that.
I think Windows, by the way, Windows Phone is very snappy in general. It runs on single-core processors very well. It's tuned better than
Android. This is Windows Phone 8. I don't know if this one has a dual core or not, but it's the budget one, so I would doubt that.
Windows Phone 8 does a great job.
The touchscreen is incredibly responsive. I mean, I've dealt with some really bad phones before, and this is not one of them. This has got a great touchscreen.
Very nice.
And it's low cost. I mean, at $50 at the highest price, that's really cheap. You can get it as low as zero, like I was saying. On the con side, though, I will say I'm not a big fan of this cheap plasticky build. I mean, this thing just it feels like a free phone. I will say that. Yeah. It's got that same plastic back and everything. Right. It looks nicer than it
feels. Can you change the battery?
Oh, yes, it's got a user replaceable battery.
Oh, I like that.
And the camera is sluggish. So I'm going to show trying to take a picture of, like, I guess me. It takes about
1,002. Oh, that's ridiculous.
2 seconds when you click the screen.
No,
the weird thing, though, is if you hit the camera button, it's instant. So I don't know why exactly that's necessary, but the software option is 1, 2, you just miss the action.
Right.
When it takes photos, it's pretty
good. But it will use the physical button.
The physical button.
All Windows phones will.
It's nice to have that button, but to know that it takes that long.
That's a bug.
That was very, very, made me very unhappy. Yeah. When you're trying to take pictures of a moving kid or something, not the best option.
Not gonna get the picture, yeah.
So if this is a try, buy, or don't buy, I got to say this is definitely a try if you're looking just for a decent phone.
Right.
If you're in the Windows phone universe, I think it could be a buy because it's such a low-cost phone. But there are so many other competitors out there when it comes to a $50 phone, or even in the Windows phone universe, the 8X is out there, and that's pretty much
the HTC 8X is a great choice.
Very hard
now,
to
you don't have as many choices on Verizon, unfortunately, but we like the Lumia. We like the 8X. And, you know, I have to say, the price of the phone is such a small percentage. There's your son.
Yeah, so
of the total price, given the monthly costs of a phone, people focus on that upfront cost, but really $100 different on the upfront cost. Is this a video? Because I see the numbers there.
The videos actually work pretty well. As a video camera, it's pretty good. Even the front-facing camera is pretty good. It's just, like I was saying, the plasticky build and that slow camera when it comes to taking photos. And he was surprisingly he's not moving very much.
Aldrin was cooperating with your photo shoot.
When Liz moves, you can see that it gets a little blurry.
She bounces. That's the problem. She's a bouncer.
I was drinking.
I don't want to know. So Ayaz Akhtar, you say try
definitely
on the Ativ Odyssey.
Try out the Samsung Ativ Odyssey.
Okay. Thank you very much. Ayaz is the host of TNT, 10 a.m. Pacific. 1 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Friday, our Twit News program. And we'll be back Thursday for two No-Hows.
Excited.
Wow. We're going to work hard on Thursday. Now, let's go across the table. Actually, before we go across, Liz, do you mind if we interrupt a little bit? Because Sarah Lane has, for the last 3 weeks, had a pile this big of iPhone cases in front of her. And I notice it's gone. Is it possible? Did Sarah review those iPhone cases? Let's take a look.
Hi, everyone. Sarah Lane here from Twit, from a variety of shows on Twit. And I have been tasked with reviewing several iPhone cases. Shannon, Before You Buy's producer, knows that I'm an iPhone person. In fact, I host a show on Twit about iPhones, i5 for the iPhone. So I'm kind of the perfect person to go through a few of these iPhone cases and just see if, you know, they're worth it. So we're going to start with something called Kava J's iPhone leather case. It's called the Dallas Cognac. It retails for about $35, $34.90 on their website. Kind of a tight fit, so you're not going to have too many cards in here. Maybe if you have a driver's license, maybe a dollar or two and a card or two, you can do that. This is nice. Smells like leather, which is I like. I don't know if that would appeal to everybody. But again, for $35, not so bad. All right, so we're going to move on now to the Acare Collatio, however you call it, iPhone 5 case. These are all for the iPhone 5 because that's the kind of iPhone I have. This retails for $39.90 on their website, so about the same price. Now, because I had a little trouble with this, it was very tight at first fit. I almost destroyed it. I managed it's not exactly broken, but I managed to stretch it to the point where I don't actually feel like this is going to last as long as it should because the leather ended up coming apart pretty easily. On the inside, obviously, you've got your phone here, and then you've got more of like a wallet area. You know, you've got definitely an area for cash here and some cards as well. Your controls are all easily accessed. The speakers themselves are slightly covered, which just to me feels a little bit janky. Of course, the camera on the back is exposed as well. All right, let's move on to the CM4, which is, at first glance, a very, very, it almost seems like a little cheapy, just cover the back of the iPhone case. It is retailing for $40. So first I go, okay, well, what makes this so special? And then on the back here, obviously, the camera is exposed, and then you've got a little area for, the company says, It's for cash. It's for cards. So let's see how much we could put in here. It certainly works. It's a tight fit. That's good. You obviously don't want your money to be falling out of your iPhone case. But besides that, there's nothing too special about this. You know, it's nice. I'll say that. Finally, let's move on to A-Care iPhone 5 case, Super Legera Pro Dual Protection case. Whatever that means. Okay. Well, here's what's kind of interesting about this at first hand. There's two little layers here. Wait, is it breaking? What's going on? Why is it like this? Okay, so here's what's going on in here. Get your phone inside. This outside area is, you know, it's plastic, but it feels pretty substantial. The inside area is a very sort of soft rubber, actually. It feels really substantial. What the company says the two layers are designed for is impact. So basically, you've got this hard shell that protects your phone. It's designed to kind of, you know, hold my phone, you know? So if there's impact, there's almost a little bit of, it gives a little bit. It's sort of like a floating office type thing. So for $20, I feel like this is probably, you know, it's form and function is one thing and design is another. This is probably more my speed. I don't know if I want to spend more than, you know, $20 or so on a case. All right, so let's go through these. Try, buy, don't buy. I'm going to go ahead and say for the Kava J, it's nice. The leather smells really good, and that's saying something. It really depends on what kind of style you're looking for. If you want something kind of boho and rugged, maybe this is for you. Go ahead and try it. Moving on to the A-Care Caladio iPhone case, $40, almost tore it in half. I say don't buy. It doesn't even smell like leather. What's the fun in that? For the CM4, if you like the idea of a small wallet on the go, maybe this is something that you would like to try. But of the four, absolutely for sure, I like the A-Care iPhone 5 case Super Legera Pro because it feels good. It's not that expensive. For $20, I say this is definitely a buy. So you've got some iPhone cases to think about. Hopefully that was helpful. And thanks, everybody, for watching my Before You Buy review. iPhones for life.
She's right. It smells expensive. It does smell like leather. Yeah, so what? I don't think you should spend much time sniffing your iPhone. Well, I mean, it's just me. I'm just thinking.
When you go out and you buy stuff, that's the first thing you do, right? Your new car smell.
One of the things I like about leather is how it smells. Yeah, you're right.
I smell my lettuce.
This is pretty. Doesn't smell like lettuce, but will cost some lettuce. Sarah Lane's entire review, if that weren't long enough, is on. There's even more. YouTube.com/beforeyoubuy. And thank you, Sarah. You know, it really is a profitable business to make iPhone cases. That's why there's so many of them.
High margin profits.
High margin. They cost a lot of money, and I don't think they probably cost all that much to make. On the other hand, I think you probably do need a case for the iPhone. It's pretty fragile. It's a shame to cover up that great design with a case, but at least if you get a nice-looking leather case or something that's stylish, it's a work of art in its own.
I just can't get over smelling the phone constantly.
When you were, did you ever play baseball?
No.
Did you ever sniff the glove? Now it's time. Never mind. Now it's, let's say hello to, by the way, Sarah Lane is also the host of TNT mm-hmm. with Iaz and Tom Merritt. She does that show every Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. Pacific. But she also hosts a couple of other shows. iPad Today with me. That's every Thursday afternoon at 1 or 2 p.m. Pacific. There's also i5 for the iPhone. She does that Monday right before this week in Enterprise Tech. And the Social Hour. She's kind of an overachiever with Amber Mack here on this network every Friday. Wow. What do you do? Liz Romero's here. She's our sales assistant and a bouncer.
Yes.
And by which I mean she sits and bounces a lot.
Also throws out people, though. I've seen it.
Are you a bouncer for the Twit bar?
Well, that's what I do when you're at CES. You know, I bounce away. You know, doing a live shoot. Yeah, it works.
You're a fan. I know we've talked because you're a fan of these devices that measure how much you bounce, whether it's the Fitbit or the Nike Fuel Band, or you were the
I'm the Jawbone Up
with me.
Yep.
We both bought a Jawbone Up.
Yeah.
You've got a new one. In fact, you're still wearing your Jawbone.
I am. So you
still use that?
I still use it. And Lark Life Band actually does, it's supposed to track exactly the same as a Jawbone app.
We saw this at CES. We thought, hey, there's one more. There's another one. We should, for completeness, we should try it. It's bigger, isn't it? In fact, it's bigger
like an
even
80s
than,
bangle bracelet.
Yeah.
Eat your heart out.
It's bigger even than the Nike Fuel Band. It's ginormous.
Yep. And
but it doesn't do anything more.
It just lights up. That's it. Just lets me know if I've done enough bouncing activity.
It doesn't even talk to you or put a happy face, grow a flower.
Nope.
Nothing.
Nothing.
No animation when you hit
your goal. It will occasionally actually snap and hurt me, though, with the magnets. So
it does
do that.
All right. Now, is it USB connectivity or is it wireless?
It is Bluetooth wireless syncing.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah. So you can do a manual, but you also have the option of having it so that auto syncs like every 60 minutes.
We just learned that Nike is not going to do an Android client for its Fuel Band. Does this work with Android?
Apple only.
Apple
Store.
Only.
Yep.
iPhone only.
Yep.
And how much is this
$150.
Same price as, well, a little less, actually.
A little more than the Jawbone app.
Than the Jawbone app.
Yeah.
All right.
So I actually had a lot of issues with this. One of the things is it actually does do Bluetooth syncing, which is great, but it constantly was failing with syncing.
Oh.
I would go through all the steps that it prompts me through.
The pairing, initial pairing?
Just syncing.
Every time in general.
Yes. Because one of the things that I didn't like about this is for you to go to sleep, you actually have to do these steps iPhone app.
This also has a sleep mode, but you can't just press a button as you can.
You can't just simply
press
a button. You actually have to go into the app, go into sleep mode, press this and hold till it vibrates, and then wait 30 seconds for it to sync. And then it'll go and shut off your phone to sleep mode. Then you have to pray that actually worked. When you wake up, supposedly do the whole thing, fail. And then later on you find out zero was counted. Well, I can't do anything now. Thanks.
Wow.
And this is the beauty you get to wear.
What the hell is that? Does it have a wire on it?
This is the thing you charge with the very, very unique charger.
It's got a proprietary charging.
And this is what you wear. This is what you wear to bed.
All right.
It gets charged.
Okay.
You always have one of these.
I have a feeling I know what your recommendations could be. Let's go do the pros and cons.
Okay.
On the Lark Life wristband.
Lark Life band. So as a pro, it does do the Bluetooth sync. So that means you don't have to do manual. You don't have to have a tower to have
wireless
it so it syncs.
Sync.
So this is a thing that will actually sync with your phone. So I like that. It does track sleep and activity. So it's not going to be a Fuel Band that just tracks just your activity and not sleep. It does mood. It does food. So it does all that, which is great.
How does it do mood?
You do your
you
whole.
Tell it.
Yeah. So you tell you how you feel. So you can see if you're feeling good and that's maybe why you didn't sleep well that night and stuff like that. It does have the option to do an auto and manual sync, which is nice. So if you want to get some immediate results. But I have a lot of cons.
Give me the cons.
Okay, cons. The size of this thing. It's ridiculous and unnecessary.
Yeah.
The price is $150.
Right.
It's not worth it.
So it's expensive.
Mm-hmm. And it fails to sync all the time.
And it doesn't work so well.
Doesn't work that well. And then the app wasn't that pretty. And it's unreliable results. I actually had sent some screenshots to Brian to compare how it works with the Jawbone up.
Yeah.
So they're completely off. When you look right here at my activity on the Lark Life.
It says you did 15,290 steps that day.
Mm-hmm. But if I look at the Jawbone up for the same day.
10,000.
Yeah. And the sleep was even
worse.
Well,
that's a reason to buy it. It looks like you're doing 50% more. That's a considerable difference.
Well, the sleep thing is one of the reasons why I love these bands the best is here it tells me on the Lark Life, I woke up 24 times that night. And then I go to the Jawbone Up, which I'm familiar with, 4 times.
Wow, that's interesting.
What?
Yeah. The Up is less expensive. It does more. It works.
It's better.
And it's smaller.
Yep.
It sounds like you really love the Lark Life. What is your vote?
Don't buy
the Lark Life.
They're good with sleep, and I think that's what they should stick with.
Okay.
I would probably get the $99 one that's just for sleep and just has this on an alarm, but not the one that's going to track your activity.
Thank you, Liz Romero, sales assistant and professional bouncy person, for your review of the Lark Life. Now, if you'll go with me one more transition, because I want to walk over here and show you the new iMac. Yeah, it's been here for a little bit of a while. And I've had a chance. I've been using this. This is my studio, my office computer. So I use this day in, day out at Twit. And you know me. I kind of like these Apple computers. And I, when the extra razor thin iMac was announced last year, about 6 months ago, maybe not quite that much, I immediately ordered one. It took a couple of months to get it. I didn't get it till January or February. But now you can see it's a little deceptive when it talks about razor thin. So this is, from this angle, yeah, it's pretty thin looking. But as you turn it a little bit, you'll see. And, of course, that makes a lot of sense. There's a bulge here that allows the electronics. What do you give up? Well, there's no more optical drive because there's nowhere to put the optical drive. In return, you do get an SD card slot. And you're giving up 9 pounds of weight. And that was the thing John and I noticed almost immediately. This is the lightest iMac I've ever used. It is just about 21 pounds, not as light as a notebook computer, but 9 pounds lighter than its predecessor iMac, which was a lot thicker. You also give up a certain amount of expandability. It's a little bit harder to get into this thing. It has 4 8-gig RAM slots, and it is at least you can at least add RAM to this. You do give up the Visa mount that we liked so much because we used to mount our the old iMac on an arm. This no longer works with the Visa mount, I'm sorry to say. There is an adapter, a third-party adapter you can get to turn this into a Visa mount. But, you know, I have to say, given how beautiful this is and how thin it is, it's not as big a deal. And how light it is, not as big a deal. It's really quite easy to reposition on the table. Now, what did this include in it? Now, we kind of went all out on it. We got the top-of-the-line i7 quad-core 3.4 gigahertz, speed stepping up to 3.9 gigahertz. We didn't max it out on RAM. You can get up to 64 gigs of RAM, or I'm sorry, 32 gigs of RAM. We got 16, two slots filled. Although, as I said, again, later I can upgrade this if I want. And we also bought something Apple's touting called the Fusion Drive. Fusion's kind of an interesting idea. This is a unique Apple technology that gives you a 3 terabyte drive. But a small SSD drive is kind of included in the drive. So let me first of all show you what the drive looks like if I open the About This Mac and we get more info here. I can show you the storage. It looks like it's a 3.11 terabyte drive. You don't see two drives in here. But you do note, because it's a Fusion drive, it says hard drive plus flash storage. I'm going to open up my... I've done a little bit of a disk benchmark on here. Let me just open up the benchmarks and I can show you. I'll compare this to the fastest disk I got, which this is an SSD in my MacBook Retina, which is a very fast SSD from Otherworld Computing. I upgraded it. Let's compare this to the Fusion drive that is built into the new iMac. One of the features of the Fusion drive is the operating system watches as you access data and moves files that you access a lot to the solid state drive. And it does this all automatically. So you get the benefit of 3 terabytes of storage. And as you can see, most of the speed benefit of an SSD drive. The drive on the left is a full SSD drive, reads at 500 megabytes per second. We got almost as close, 383 megabyte per second read times on the Fusion drive. The write times were even closer, 308 megabytes per second write times on the standard SSD drive, 286 megabytes per second on the Fusion drive. The thing that's most interesting is you run the benchmark on the Fusion drive, it actually speeds up because it says, oh, I guess Leo really wants this file, and it moves it to the SSD drive and gets a lot of speed. I really like the Fusion drive. I frankly really like this computer. It's extremely fast, the fastest Mac I've ever owned. We got the kind of top-of-the-line GeForce card. You have some choices, the GTX 680 card or the 660 card. We got the 680 MMX, or MX, I should say. Gives me a very nice, on this 27-inch display, resolution of 2560 by 1440. Very high resolution. Not Retina, because it is such a big display, but absolutely gorgeous. And as I said, it's very snappy, probably snappier because it's not Retina. I'm able to switch back and forth between desktops very, very quickly on this display. It also comes with a very large component of ports. In fact, if you let me flip it around here, I can show you. It's got four USB 3 ports here. Those are very fast ports. It's got 2 Thunderbolt ports, which means you can drive another monitor or 2 or 3 or 4 monitors off of this. And you know, if you worry about expandability, I know there's no new Mac Pro, but one of the nice things about this new iMac is because you can get a Thunderbolt card case or a variety of other Thunderbolt extensions, you probably can do many of the things you would do, including add a lot of extra very fast drives via Thunderbolt. It also has gigabit Ethernet, Wi-Fi A, B, G, and N, Bluetooth 4.0 in here, and you see an SD card reader. Kind of ungainly placement for the SD card reader, but it's there's nowhere else to put it. This is so thin, you have to put it on the back. So if you do want to use your SD card, you're going to have to reach around behind the iMac. Normally, you won't even have this cable. You just have a single power cable. It comes with the Magic, the Apple Magic Trackpad or the Apple Mouse and a Bluetooth keyboard. So these are wireless. It's a really beautiful combination, just right for living room or any desk where you just don't want to have, you know, a big bulky computer. Very fast, no fans as far as I can tell. Just a really gorgeous display. Pros, the screen, you got to say, is just fantastic. 27-inch screen. They also make a 21-inch model. The this one, as configured with all the top-of-the-line stuff, is almost $3,000, but you can obviously cut quite a bit. They start at $1,799 for the 21-inch. It also is very, very fast. I found it to be the fastest Mac I've ever used. Cons, well, it's a little pricey, as all Macintoshes are. And lack of built-in expandability options means it's perhaps not the ideal solution for somebody who needs many, many drives, things like that. Although I have to say, having two Thunderbolt ports helps me out a little bit with that. If you ask me, try, buy, don't buy, that's an absolute buy. If you're a Macintosh aficionado, this is the most beautiful, the fastest iMac Apple has ever made. I don't miss an optical drive. You can always add an external one for $100, but I don't even think I really need it. It's been a long time since I've inserted optical media, even for installations. Even if you're putting something like Microsoft Office on here nowadays, you download it from the internet. So that's not a big negative. I really like the new iMac. I'm very happy we bought it. And doesn't that just look... It feels like I've just got a piece of paper with a picture on it. I mean, it just really is a gorgeous display. Definitely, definitely a buy. Well, that's it before you buy. Wow, what a jam-packed show. I want to thank all of our hosts, Ayaz Akhtar, Sarah Lane, Liz Romero, Father Robert Ballasaire, Shannon... I almost said Shannon Doherty. Shannon Morse, our... I love Shannon Doherty, but she's not here. Shannon Morse, our producer of the show, I want to thank you for joining us, too. We love doing this show. If you've got a suggestion for something you'd like us to review, you can email Shannon before you buy or BYB at twit.tv. You'll also find videos of all our reviews on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/ before you buy. We do the show every Tuesday, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 2300 UTC. I guess that's midnight UTC. On twit.tv. Do watch live if you can, but of course we make audio and video available after the fact for download from our website and everywhere better internet programming is made available. Always free for before you buy. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time. Remember, you gotta watch before you buy.